start with 15 minutes of Torah's Rav Schechter. So we left off last week in Siman Vav of Eretz HaTzvi, and we were discussing the difference between Gzeros versus Molachos. How there are three different types of Yisurim you could have on Shabbos. There's a Molacha D'Oraisa, there's a Molacha D'Rabbanan, and then there's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. So this plays out in the field of, in the category of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. By Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, everybody agrees Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is an Isser Midrabanan. But what we're not sure about is a Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa a Gzera or a Melacha? So what is a Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? What's the definition of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? No? What's a Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? Some basic of Chashavah's knowledge here? Anything basic? No? No basic of Chashavah's knowledge? Come on, somebody's got the Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa.
I will not go on. Nobody here knows.
That's a Dabba Shein Miskali. No, what's Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? So normally, a regular Melacha is, let's say you're digging a hole in the ground. So you're digging a hole in the ground, why? Because you want to make a hole in the ground, right? That is the straight Melacha. Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is you're doing the same exact act. You're digging a hole in the ground, but you're doing it because you want the dirt, not because you want the hole. That is the definition. That's the classic case of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So that's for sure Asur Midrabanan. Again, same act they did in the Mishkan, but for a different purpose than they did it for in the Mishkan. Same exact act, different purpose. That is the definition of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. But it's machlokas whether that is Asur Mishum Gzeira, or is it Asur Mishum Melacha? Do we say that as a Melacha Drabban or a Gzeira Drabban? If it's a Melacha, it would be Asur even for a Chol HaShein Bal Sakana. Because remember we said last week that we permit Gzeros for a Chol HaShein Bal Sakana, but we don't permit Melacha for a Chol HaShein Bal Sakana. That was the great Chiddush, that even though people normally think, oh, Chol HaShein Bal Sakana, automatically you could violate the Rabbanans. So Rav Schechter said, no, it depends what kind of Derabbanan you're talking about. Are you talking about a Melacha Derabbanan or a Gzeira Derabbanan? It could be that one is allowed to violate a Gzeira Derabbanan for a Chola, but not a Melacha Derabbanan. And this explains, the Meiri asks a stira between two sugyas. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Tav Chavtes that says that you're not allowed to extinguish a fire for a Chola Shein Bo Sakana, even though kibuy aner, extinguishing a fire, is a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa. However, in Shabbos Tav Kuf Zayin, it says, you can pop a pimple on Shabbos to remove the pus, because a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa is mutter b'makom tzar. That you're allowed to do melacha shein tzricha l'gufa, which popping a pimple would be, if your purpose is, if your function is, not to create the hole, but to remove the pus from the pimple, that would be melacha shein tzricha l'gufa, that's mutter b'makom tzar. So which is it? How come in Shabbos Daf Chavtes says that you're not allowed to do the melacha shein tzricha l'gufa of mechabe for the sake of a chole? Yet in Shabbos Kuf Zayin it says you're allowed to do melacha shein tzricha l'gufa of popping a pimple for the sake of tzar that a person is suffering. So the Miri says, really it's mutter, because presumably he views it in Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa as a Gzeira, not a Melacha D'Rabbanan. Aye, what about the case of extinguishing the fire? So there are multiple ways to explain that. It could be that even Gzeiros, which are mutter for a Chol HaShein Bo Sakana, are only mutter b'toras dichui, and they're not absolutely hutra. So if there's some other option, like putting up a screen to block the light, then we would have to do that, and you would not be able to be mechabe the ner. Or maybe we only allow violation of a gezeira to cure a chola, but not to allow him to sleep more, to take other needs, take care of his other needs. Meaning that yes, we allow the violation of a gezeira for a chola, but that's only if the gezeira is going to cure the chola. Or a third possibility is that we only allow violating a gezeira for a vadai ripoy, like popping a pimple, you know you're going to be able to remove that pus. But a suffic ripoy, like shutting off the light, it may or may not help the chola. So maybe that's why that case is different. Also, Tosas Mesech Shabbos Davayin Hei derives from a Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Dalin that the Patur of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is not based on Melachas Machsheves, meaning it even applies to Chovel U'Mavir, which don't require Melachas Machsheves. What does it mean, Chovel U'Mavir? Chovel is when you make a wound, Mavir when you light a fire. So the halacha is that Mekalkel is always Patur Chutz Mi Chovel U'Mavir. Why? Mekalkel, when you do something in a destructive way, that's less of a melachas machshavis. It's less of a purposeful, constructive act. But by chovel umavir, by definition, they are destructive acts. And therefore, even b'mekalkel, you're chayiv. So we don't have that same geder of melachas machshavis. Now, the p'tur of melach shein tzrich l'gufa in general is an independent din. That is the way Tosfos understands. Unlike Rashi and the Balamar, who hold that melach shein tzrich l'gufa is based on this idea of melachas machshavis. So Rashi and the Balamar would fit very nicely with the Meiri. That melach shein tzrich l'gufa is a gzeira, it's not a melacha, because there's a lack of melachas machshavis. Tosfos would hold that it's a melacha d'rabbanan, and therefore it's not mutter for a chola. And that's why you're not allowed to extinguish a flame for the chola. The fact that you could pop a pimple to let out the pus is because a tolda shein tzricha l'gufa is nothing at all. And that's a fascinating idea. Tolda shein tzricha l'gufa is nothing at all. Why? What is the definition of a tolda? What is a tolda? Secondary, not exactly an avnu. Give me an example. What would be a tolda? Definitionally. So when you have something that was done in the Mishkan, right? That is the av melacha. But if you do something that has the same idea, but it's a different act, but it's the same basic goal. It's just a different act with the same basic goal. That is a tolda. If melacha shein tzrich l'gufa is the same act and a different goal, and tolda is the same goal but a different act, so tolda shein tzrich l'gufa is nothing, because it's not the same act and it's not the same goal, right? That's why tolda shein tzrich l'gufa would turn out to be an absolute zero. A tolda by definition is a different act than the av. Melach shein tzrich l'gufa by definition is the same act for a different purpose. So tolda shein tzrich l'gufa is nothing on a daraisa level. That's why the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kamma looks for the differences between toldos and avos. Why doesn't the Gemara bring this up? Why don't we bring up the difference between tolda and av by Shabbos? Is that by Shabbos of an av shein tzrich l'gufa is asur, tolda shein tzrich l'gufa is nothing. It's totally mutter. So the Gemara doesn't bring this up because this isn't a way that we treat them differently. It's just a fact that a tolda shein tzrich l'gufa is simply not a melacha at all. That's as far as melacha shein tzrich l'gufa. But here's the big chiddush that Rav Shechter relies on halacha l'maisa for many, many of his piskei halacha within this chiluk between gezeros and melachos. Listen to this chiddush. Rashi Masech Sanhedrin Daf Samach Vav writes that one only gets skila for Chil Shabbos if you did a maisa. If you're a Mechal Shabbos without actively doing a maisa, there's no skila for such Chil Shabbos. So says Rashi. What's pshat? Why is it that if you don't do a maisa, you're not going to be chayiv skila for the Chil Shabbos? How do we explain that? So simply you want to say, oh, must mean because you can't be chayiv misa when you don't do a maisa. There's no avera for which you can be chayiv misa when you don't do a maisa. But that's not true. We know that's not true. Today's Daf Yomi, the Mishnah spoke about a chiyuv skila for someone who is megadef. What is a megadef? Someone who curses Hashem. Where's the maisa? There is no maisa. And yet he's chayv misa for megadef. There's no rule by chiyuv misa that you're only going to be chayv misa if you did a maisa. It's not true. No such rule exists. That can't be what Rashi means. That's definitely not the pshat in Rashi. Well, for example, someone who says to an avod zara, Eliata, you are my God. Chayiv misa. Was there a maisa? No maisa. It was just words. So what does Rashi mean when he says, you cannot be chayiv skila on Shabbos unless you did a maisa? Apparently there's no rule that you need to do a maisa in order to be chayiv misa. This must be something that's unique to Shabbos. Right? Not something that's about Misa in general. Something about Shabbos. So what's Pshat in Rashi? The fact that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin, says that a Mechashev, Mishnah says, someone who does Kishuv, is only Chayiv Misa if he does a Maisa, that's not a Raya, because that could just be a special din in Kishuv. that it's only called a sheer kishuf if you did a maisa. If your kishuf caused that you gathered together all the cucumbers from the field or whatever examples the Gemara gives. The pshat in Rashi is that specifically Melechas Shabbos can only be considered a violation of a melacha, that the definition of melacha is a maisa. When there's no maisa, it can't be defined as a melacha. That's what Rashi means. Therefore, anything that's violated b'shevi al ta'asa is by definition not a melacha. Now, based on that idea, Rav Shakta says, you know, we can answer the famous kasha of Mukhe Yosef and Baba Kama in the sugya of Isham Mishum Chitzav. Ooh, brings back some memories. What's the famous kasha of Tosin Baba Kama of Isham Mishum Chitzav? If you hold that when you light a fire, that wherever that fire burns, it's like an arrow. It's like your maisa that's doing everything. I light a fire over here and it burns down the trees over there. It's my maisa that's burning down those trees. Eishom Yishom Chitzav. So then ask the Numukhe Yosef, no, come on, someone remembers this. Why are you? Oh, good. How are you allowed to light candles on Erev Shabbos? It's continuing to burn the oil, the wax on Shabbos. So why does it continue to burn the oil and wax on Shabbos? That's your maisa. All that wax that's burning is your maisa. Isham Isham Chitzav should be your Chil Shabbos. So Mukhe Yosef gave one answer. What was Mukhe Yosef's answer? Yeah, it's your maisa, but when did it happen? It all happened before Shabbos. Says Rav Shachter, based on this idea, we can explain differently. No, it's your maisa and it's happening on Shabbos. It's your maisa and it's happening on Shabbos. But you're not doing a maisa on Shabbos. It's your malacha, but it can't be defined as a malacha when it's b'shevi al ta'asa. On Shabbos, you're sitting there doing nothing. Your entire active involvement was Erev Shabbos. So maybe consider that it is happening on Shabbos. You don't have to pretend that this wax was burning before Shabbos. No, it's happening now. But it's happening b'shevi al ta'asa. And whenever something is not being done in an active way, it cannot be a violation of a malacha. Now, Rav Shachter explains this according to the Numukhe Yosef L'chora. He just points out as a ha'ar. According to the Numukhe Yosef, let's say you put dough in an oven a minute before Shabbos is over, so it's going to bake after Shabbos is over. According to Numukhe Yosef, you should be chayiv for baking. Why? Because everything that happens afterwards is as if you did right then when you put the dough in the oven, right? That would be according to Numukhe Yosef. Rabbi Kivegar has a famous suffix, very nogel lemaisa. A person does a maisa kinyan on Erev Shabbos and the chalos kinyan is going to be on Shabbos. You put in a bid on eBay on Erev Shabbos and the auction closes on Shabbos. Your kona on Shabbos. Is that a violation? Is that a violation of anything? Kivegar has suffix. Now you would want to say, well, wait a second. I know the answer because we just said that there could be no violation b'shevi al ta'asa. On Shabbos you're doing nothing, right? So why is Rabbi Kivegar Mesupach? Oh, because the Isra of Mecca Chumemkar on Shabbos. Is that a malacha or a gezer? Gezer Shema? Yechtav. Ooh, a gezer can be violated b'shevi al ta'asa. And this is the key. A fundamental chiluk between a malacha and a gezer is that a malacha can only be violated because of asay. But a gzeira can be violated b'shevi al ta'asa. And that is a hugely important chiddush. That's why there could be such a thing as an Isser Shehiya on Shabbos. What is the Isser Shehiya? What I'm discovering right now is that high schools need to do a better job of teaching Hilchos Shabbos. What is an Isser Shehiya? You leave food cooking from before Shabbos on a flame on Shabbos. What do you mean? I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. What kind of Isser is that? How can it be a Malacha Drabanan? The answer is, it's not a Malacha Drabanan. Can't be, you're right. Because it's totally passive on Shabbos. What is it? A Gezeira Drabanan, the Isser of Shehiya. Ah, that's why the Gemara Nerev in Daf Kuf says that if somebody climbs up a tree on Erev Shabbos, every moment he stays there is a violation of the Gezeira of Ein Olin Bilin B'Shabbos. What do you mean? He's passive. He's not doing anything. Yeah, because it's not a Malacha. It is a Gezeira that he's not allowed to climb a tree. Magen Avraham quotes a Radvaz that you can ask a guy to play music on Shabbos for you at a Sudas Nisuin. Let's say you used to get married on Friday and they had the Suda Friday night. So they say, the Maghavon calls for advice, you can ask a guy to play music at the wedding feast, at the wedding Seuda, on Friday night. Why? What's the Svara? Shvus to Shvus, Mokha Mitzvah. It's Amir La'akum, to do an Issa Drabbanan for me, and it's Mokha Mitzvah, it's for a Seuda's Mitzvah. Mishnah Brura, however, says that many argue. Why? What's the Svara to be Machmir? Seems pretty good, right? So the explanation of the Machmirim is that music is not, playing music is not a Malacha, it is a Gezerah. The Gezerah could even be violated B'Shevi Alta, says. So the definition of the Gezerah might be that I'm having music played for me. And it doesn't matter. The Amir La'akum is not going to help because it's still a direct violation of the Gezerah. Meaning, if it were Malacha, so then yeah, by having someone else do it instead of me doing it, so that makes it one step lower, one step of a lesser violation. But since it's a gezeirah, and a gezeirah could be violated even passively, it doesn't even go one step down. And based on that, Rav Shechter wants to time it. And he paskins this halacha l'maisa, that if you set an alarm clock before Shabbos to go off on Shabbos, you are in violation of Hashma'as Kol on Shabbos. Most poskim do not assume that way. Why do most poskim assume that it's mutter? What did you do? You didn't do anything. You did absolutely nothing on Shabbos. Hashma'as Kol is when you do something on Shabbos to be Mashmiya Kol. You did nothing. But, according to this Mahalich, the Yisra of Hashma'as Kol is not a Malacha, it is a Gezerah. A Gezerah can be violated even if you're totally passive. Only a Malacha requires an action. A Gezerah, even if you're totally passive. Wow. That's why Rav Shechter thought, I think I got him to change his psak on this actually. I don't know, maybe someone should ask him what he holds, and we'll see if I really, but at the end of the conversation, he said to me that he thinks I was right at the end, but initially he said, you know those picture frames that you plug in that, you know, just keep switching the pictures around? So you can't have it going on Shabbos. You're not doing anything. No, but a Gzeira Midrabanan would still be violated, even in the Shevi Al Tasa. So I said, oh, that's a little different. That's like having a clock that just continues to run, you know, throughout Shabbos. It's not, you're not doing that for Shabbos. You're doing that for all the time, and it just happens to continue to go through Shabbos. I think he was moda on that point in the end. Just one more. Great chiddush that he has based on this idea. The Bir Halacha in Siman Reish Gimel quotes a machlokas, if you're allowed to ask a guy to put fully cooked solid food on a fire for you on Shabbos to warm it up for the sake of Suda Shabbos, you're not allowed to put fully cooked food directly in your oven on Shabbos. Sometimes people don't know this. I've seen people make this mistake. You're not allowed to put fully cooked cold food into your oven to warm it up on Shabbos. Why not? That is called an Issur Drabbanan of Hachzara. So Bir Halacha says, what if you have no warm food for Shabbos? If you have a guy, you could do Amir La'akum. Why? Hachzara is an Issur Drabbanan. Amir La'akum is an Issur Drabbanan. Shvos to Shvos, b'makom mitzvah, makom suda Shabbos. So Bir Halacha quotes that some say that you're allowed to do that. What's the Svara to be Machmir? Well, if you hold Hachzara is a gezeira and not a malacha drabanan, doesn't help to ask a guy. And in fact, Rav Shechter proves that we paskin that it is a gezeira and not a malacha drabanan, because the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Gimel Sifkat Tezvav says you can be machzir b'samuch le'esh on Shabbos, near the fire on Shabbos, because the gezeira was only made al esh. Ooh, it's a gezeira. If it were about a malacha drabanan, so I don't care, samach le'esh, ala esh, it shouldn't make a difference. But if it's a gezeira, the gezeira is only made ala esh. So we pass when it's a gezeira. And therefore, Rav Shechter has his next whopper of a chumrah that is against most poskim. What if you're not comfortable keeping your hot plate on all Shabbos? Right? So you don't want to, to leave it on all Shabbos, it's going to be too hot in the kitchen, whatever. Can you put it on a timer and put, let's assume it's an adjustable hot plate or something that would be a violation normally of Hachzara to put something on the hot plate, or you do put things directly down. whatever the gedarim are of that, we're not going to get into that right now, but you put it on a timer, and you put the food on before the timer turns on, then the hot plate turns on at some point Shabbos morning. So you violated hachazara, but you didn't violate hachazara, because at the time you put it on, the flame wasn't on. It happened by itself. Everything happened by itself. So Shach said, but if hachazara is a gzeira, so gzeira could even be violated by shevi altasa. And therefore he passed this against Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, against the Melamed Lahalal, against the Chazanish. He says that it's aser to put food on a hot plate that's on a timer on Shabbos morning, because as soon as the timer turns on, b'shevi al tase, you will have violated the aser of achzera. If or a malacha in a chidam, you wouldn't have violated anything, which is an interesting thing. It could turn out that we might be more makel on malachos than we are on gzeros in this way. So for example, let's say I have a coffee machine that's set to turn itself on and make me a nice fresh brewed coffee on Shabbos morning. So what's that? If it's making coffee on Shabbos morning, what malacha? What is that? Gzeira malacha? What is that? That's a malacha of bishul, right? Ooh, but a malacha can't be violated the shevi al tasa. So maybe there's no violation. If it were a gzeira, it would be aser. But as a malacha, maybe there would be no problem, because a malacha can't be violated the shevi al tasa. So that's this chiluk between gzeira versus malacha. Okay. Yeah.